What a Saga by Diana Suhami, with Prunella Scales as Mrs. Bloom.
I think, I hope I'm a modern mother. I try to move with the times. There's nothing worse in my view than getting stuck in your ways, like Mrs. Goatley next door and her cake stick makeup. Bright orange and then the jawline. No blending into the neck. Someone should tell her. She applies it in a low light with myopic eyes and then goes out into the cruel day. What's it covering up? What's underneath? I'm not stuck like that. But what I'm getting round to is sex and Marjorie. I wonder if it's my fault. She's going to have a child. I wonder if I should put my foot down. You see, they don't hang fire like we used to. They jump in, then spring it on you. She stood in the kitchen and she sprang it on me. I was doing the curly pastry round the lift-up thing on the apple pie. It was the beginning of all the rest of it. A whole saga.
Mum?
Yes, dear?
Are you listening?
Not quite, dear, but I will be when I get the curly round the lift-up thing to go right. There, dear, what is it?
I'm gonna have a baby.
Well, put that idea into your head.
It's not an idea in my head.
Open the oven door, will you? Be 40 minutes. I hope the meatloaf doesn't spit on it. Save a bit for father. He might show up. Stranger things have happened.
I said I'm going to have a baby.
One day you'll have a family, of course. It's only natural. And not just the one, like I did. One's a stingy number. 25's a nice age for babies. But right now it's your schoolwork and a career. Like Miss Phipps says, you're an underachiever, Marjorie.
My mother, honestly, I could have been having it on the kitchen floor. Pushing, moaning. She'd have still gone on about curly pastry, Miss Phipps. I've had all the tests. They're positive. If it's a girl, I'll call it Wanna. I hope it's a girl.
Wanna what?
Bloom, of course. That's my name, isn't it? Marjorie Bloom.
What about the father's name? Wanna Bloom. What kind of name is that? Sounds like a rude suggestion.
It's very nice. Unusual.
You'll have to leave school.
That suits me.
You're 16, Marjorie.
I'll be 17 by the time it's here.
Oh, I'd heard all right. I'd gone wobbly inside. It was the start of everything else, the avalanche. I don't feel like meatloaf now. Let the cat out, will you?
I've been waiting to tell you all evening.
Who's the father?
Rick.
The one with the wall eye?
Mum.
What nationality is he?
Half Turkish or Peru or something. What's that got to do with it?
People come from funny places these days. Is he serious about you?
He says he's in a permanent state of desire in my company.
Marjorie.
But I'm not serious about him, and he's not serious about me. Not seriously serious.
That's very nice. That's a good starting life. That's the foundation of a sense of security in a stable home. Lay the table. I don't think you should have this child. It's inopportune. Abortion's legal, painless and straightforward. Every woman's right.
I've decided.
Then you should decide again. We'll look after it.
I hoped you'd help. You're always saying how close we are.
Not that close. I'm out at work.
You'll take it with you. Nobody'd mind.
I would.
I'll get social security and work in a pub.
You're 16.
I look old.
This is almost irregular. It'll mar your young life.
Oh, Mum. Face the meatloaf and look on the bright side. I felt really discouraged. I've been looking forward to telling her. Mum. She can find a maggot in a pickled onion. Everything's negative for her. She's not life-affirming. I've made a unilateral decision about motherhood. I said yes instead of no and didn't put me cap in. That's all it takes. Don't know why I said yes with Rick. Oh, he's got a nice smile and he's quite gentle. His dad's packing off to Istanbul or somewhere, exporting currants. But I'll get by. Quite sure I'll get by. I wouldn't want Rick around. He's immature.
I tossed and turned that night. Lewis didn't come home and I was glad. He's not an understanding man. I supposed he was staying in the little house, as we call it, a portable building on the allotment, filled with radios. That's his life, a ham. Communication on various frequencies at all hours of the day and night. He comes home to rummage in the tool shed and eat a roast, occasionally. He tunes into wars in distant parts, like Alyosha. It's interesting if you like that sort of thing. He's a celebrity with it, in demand, talks and books and demonstrations, but it hasn't made us close. The opposite, really. Marjorie's a foreigner to him, and if a tap's dripping, I'll call a plumber. It was snowing in the night when swirling flakes and a white shroud. Poor little hardly wanted bugger, I thought, coming into this cold world. And that was just the beginning.
Mrs. Bloom? Oh, Mrs. Bloom, what a disaster. Can you pour us both a brandy?
I could tell she was white beneath the orange, her eyes darting like two caged birds.
You haven't heard. I can tell by your composure you haven't heard. I must sit down.
Get it off your chest, Mrs. Goatley. Come to the point.
Mrs. Bloom. Oh, I can feel it burning on the way down. I don't like it, but it does help. Mrs. Bloom, you know those bricks that fell off under the roof out the back last month and chipped your husband's pipes?
What about them?
And you know my plans, Mrs. Bloom. The little bungalow called Sea Vista. Equity on this place to provide an income to supplement my pension. And you know the Bennets who were going to buy?
I thought they had bought. I thought contracts had been exchanged.
They've got the surveyor's report, Mrs. Bloom. Subsidence. Wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. We're built on mud and sinking fast. If you go down the back under the railings and crouch by that generator where the brambles are, you can see a crack running down both our houses. No, not just a crack, a crevice. A catastrophe. The windows tipping towards each other, bricks loosening, tiles slipping, sills cracking. 6 months they'd be unfit for human habitation. It's like a miniature earthquake, Mrs. Bloom.
You don't get earthquakes in Marsh End, Mrs. Goatley. We'll get the builders in.
18,000 to shore up the foundations, Mrs. Bloom. That's the minimum. Then the brickwork to be repointed, windows rehung, roofs retiled. There's an underground spring, you see, creating a quicksand, sucking us in. Yours is pulling mine down. Oh, do you think I could ever drop more brandy?
Who says all this?
The Bennett surveyor. We'll have to go into homeless person's accommodation. Mrs. You make your plan. You do your best. You skimp and save and obey the rules, and then what happens? Reality comes like a tide and washes away all your wealth. Oh, there'll be no Sea Vista now, Mrs. Bloom.
Claim on the insurance.
It's an act of guilt. Subsidence, ground eave, and land slip. Acts of God don't qualify.
Then we'll sit and wait until they dig us out the rubble with bulldozers.
Oh, I so wish Ernest hadn't passed away. I don't want to stay in the house where he had his accident, listening to the walls cracking. Can't Mr. Bloom help?
Oh, where's my Marjorie? Thank you for keeping me informed, Mrs. Goatley. You should get it in writing. The Bennets might be having you on, beating you down, gazumping you. Evasion tactics. Nothing has credibility until you get it in writing.
Hello, Mum. They think it's twins.
I didn't listen to that greeting. It's important to know when you've had enough. Mrs. Goatley took her orange face away. It had gone burnt sienna with a brandy. I felt like saying, blend it in, Mrs. Goatley, blend it in. God almighty, I'm June Bloom, I'm fat and 44, and I haven't had it easy. My husband lives in a potting shed and can't be described as normal. My 16-year-old daughter is having illegitimate children and my house is falling down. I only dimly remember the war. Air raid shelters and dried bananas. People survived it then. They lost all and then built anew. I breathed in and thought of the Falklands.
Put the kettle on, Marjorie, dear. And let the cat out. I'm just going to the toilet.
Maybe it was my imagination, but every stair seemed to creak in an ominous way. Beside the skirting was a widening crack sufficient for a big toe. The coving, windows, ceilings, pipes, all of it was cracks, gaps, smells and creaks. I said, pull yourself together, June, you're overreacting. That Mrs. Goatley's a scaremonger. Houses don't fall down, they last 1,000 years. I think this is a Victorian house. It's a child of a house, this house.
What did Mrs. Goatley want?
Drink my brandy and tell me the house is falling down.
So what's new?
I'm going to have an my tea and then go over and get your father. I haven't seen him for a fortnight. He can sort it out.
What will he do?
Nothing, I don't suppose. I looked at my daughter. She's got three holes in one ear and a blue quiff. I thought, she's swelling up.
I'm going back for more tests next week. They think they can hear at least two arts.
Record 7, isn't it? Woman in Guatemala on heavy medication. They came out the size of mice. Big mice. Let the cat in, will you?
I've only just let it out. I've been given a sound for when the time comes. My mantra. It's relaxing. They're teaching us how to breathe next week. Rick went to Istanbul today.
That's nice.
He got sentimental. Crying. Why are you in a love?
You don't take life seriously, Marjorie.
You see all the gloom and doom. I've got this craving for chalk and Bombay ducks. It's crazy. I ate the only bit of chalk in history. Miss Phipps went wild.
I hope you don't live to regret this.
Mum, please. Did you live to regret me?
Of course not.
Well then. I had a talk with Miss Phipps today. She says I can stay on until a month before the birth. There are three boys in our class who are fathers. They aren't told to go. At least that can take me O-levels. Are you worrying about the house?
That and other things.
It's not as if it's a surprise. Every time you slam a door, a bit drops off. It's been going on for years.
It's escalating.
We'll get by. We'll go and live in a boat. I've always fancied that.
I had high hopes for you, Marjorie. You were a bright child.
What did you hope for me? You make me sound like a washout.
I hoped you'd have a career, something interesting. A woman in your own right. I hoped you'd meet a nice man, not like your father. I hoped you'd have a house, not this. I hoped you'd savour the fruits of the affluent society. I wanted you to have a pleasurable life.
I'm having a pleasurable life, thank you. Oh, you can't plan life, Mum. Then sew it up. Mine isn't over. It's hardly begun. You talk like I'm never going to go out or earn 50p or fancy another man.
It's no light matter, Marjorie, lives. You don't seem to realise it's day in, night out, lives. It's a consuming interest, lives. You're in a position of responsibility now. You won't be free to do as you please. Everything you do, you'll have to think, what about my little one?
Ones. It's twins.
Let the cat out.
I'll just let it in. Get out, puss.
Oh, it's covered in brick dust, poor thing. I'm going to talk to your father. Winkle him out from behind his wires. It's as much his fault as anybody's. I blame him, I really do.
Mum, blowing your nose is a national catastrophe. If the house is falling down, it's falling down. If you're having a baby, either you have it or you don't. Just don't go on. I know we're close and she's my best friend, but she's such a pain in the arse.
Most despondent, I felt, on my way to the allotment. February's a difficult month, dark and slushy. I kept my chin up and clasped my police whistle just in case. The lights were on in the little house and I could see an aerial sticking out of a potato sack. Lewis is an unnatural man. I can't fathom the life he leads. Usually I knock and call, it's only me, then he unlocks in his own time. Some funny feeling made me peer underneath the cardboard at the windows. Lewis was in his vest and pants, bare legs and earphones. He was sitting up at his bench, wiggling knobs and wires. There was a small man wearing Lewis's trousers rolled up round his ankles. He had nothing on top and nothing on his feet. He had his arms round Lewis's neck and appeared to be nibbling my husband's ear. There were silver foil cartons of takeaway curry with little white plastic forks, empty beer cans, cigarette ends and polystyrene cups of half-drunk coffee.
It's only me. I need to talk to you, Lewis. You've not been home for a fortnight living here. The council will be on at you. Good evening.
Garth, June Bloom, I am... Wait.
Why are you wearing my husband's trousers?
He went to have a wash. The pump slipped, soaked his clothes. He's staying with me.
No room?
We make do.
Marjorie's having a baby, twins.
That's good.
The house has subsidence, severe subsidence. So's Mrs. Goatley's. They reckon it'll all collapse in 6 months.
Where will you go?
Underneath a pile of rubble for all the help I'll get from you.
I hope you haven't come here in a high emotional state, June. We're doing some intricate receiving.
You're an enigma to me, Lewis. An enigma, living like this in your knickers in February.
Is it money you're after?
Marjorie's having twins and must leave school. The father's a lad who's now back in his own land won't be heard of again. The house is collapsing, the cat's destabilised and covered in brick dust, and you're my husband.
I think this is the right moment to break it to you, June. Put that on auto-receive, Garth. Come in, June. Take those underpants and that condenser off that packing case, will you, and sit down. Would you like some cold vindaloo?
No.
Something to drink?
No.
I don't find you an entirely approachable woman, June.
The feeling's mutual.
I readily concede that the fault is mine. Romantic involvement, such as exist traditionally between men and women, have little attraction for me. I can say this in Garth's hearing, because we have a peculiar understanding.
I know all about that side of you, Lewis. What am I to do about the house falling down?
I'm trying to tell you something, June.
I'm trying to tell you something, Lewis.
Garth and I are renting a tin mine, disused tin mine in Cornwall. Aren't we, Garth? We've built up a reputation with our communications network. We need more space. It's a relationship based on a shared passion. I concede there's a physical attraction. I concede there's an age difference. I've never been close to Marjorie, so it isn't as if she'll grieve. We'll set it up as a station and conference centre. Our living habits are frugal, ascetic, but that's what suits us, isn't it, Garth? The whole domestic domain of supper time, TV soap operas, home decorating, childbirth. It doesn't interest me, June. It does not interest me in the least.
I wish you'd put your trousers on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where are my pyjamas? I plan to take you to the Holy Fook and break it to you there.
What about money?
They know me well enough, they'd give me credit.
What about me and money, and Marjorie, and the little ones, and the house?
You can have it.
I don't want it, it's falling down. What about an income?
You've got a job.
What about you as provider, father, husband, head of household?
We have to do what we have to do, don't we, June?
You've never been right, Lewis.
You shouldn't be negative. It's good to have a project.
You're going to be a grandfather.
We're only 4 miles from the sea. Garth has an experience in boat building. He's from the Hebrides originally.
You can never give a direct answer.
What was the question?
What are you going to do about being a grandfather?
Nothing.
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 So, as I understand it, you're doing a bunk, abnegating all responsibility, off to Cornwall with this dumb waiter on some indeterminate exploit, leaving a wife of 20 years and your pregnant schoolgirl daughter and a derelict house.
That's one way of putting it.
You won't be sending any money or involving yourself in domestic affairs on any level.
A clean break's best.
You don't even have the decency to give due warning.
I was going to take you to the Holy Fook.
People murder for less than this.
Don't get emotional.
I'll get legal advice.
It's an unnecessary expense.
I hope you fall down a mine shaft, both of you. I hope your bodies are never found.
You must ask yourself what you want, June.
I know what I don't want.
Ah. But
I don't want, at the age of 44, to be the sole provider for 2 illegitimate children in a garden shack.
You're being over-emotional.
I've wasted my life for the likes of you.
I had to get out. I've not understood before the expression seeing red. I saw a red sheet before my eyes. Him standing there looking as mad as a hatter, my husband, orange curly whiskers like a shredded wheat, in his pyjamas, surrounded by wires, doing God knows what, telling me he was walking out, going off with some fella, telling me he'd never been with me, telling me I'd wasted my time as if I didn't know.
I can feel him kicking. You look all right.
I'm all right. We just have soup and toast.
I must go and get a Bombay duck.
You can do without.
Is Dad coming to fix the bricks?
Not interested, not coming near.
Mrs. Goatley called back. Said she was scared of explosion and could she have a drop of brandy?
Fear makes her thirsty.
I feel excited for you, Mum.
That's a joke.
Your life's been shaken about like a Kaleidoscope, new things, change. The opposite of getting stuck in your ways.
Change is fine when you choose it.
You don't have to worry about me, Mum. I'll always get by.
Tomorrow I'm going to ask for a rise and throw out Lucy's clothes.
I lay awake that night, listening to the creaks and cracks. I was angry about Louis, but unsurprised. Angry with myself for letting life slip by. It was all right for him with his radio and wires. That was his thing. And Marjorie's a bit the same. If there's something she wants, she'll get it. I said to myself quietly, "What do you want, June?" But I didn't know. Maybe that was my trouble. I didn't quite know.
I've been here 7 years, Mr. Withers. I set up that system and the typing. If there was a union, I'd get much more.
We don't want a union here, June. We're not a bunch of left-wing anarchists. We can come to a gentleman's agreement. What kind of increment had you in mind?
10%.
Far above inflation.
10% of a pittance, Mr. Withers. That's the point.
This is going to take me down an uncomfortable avenue.
My daughter's pregnant and my husband's deserting me.
Personal circumstances cannot be allowed to intrude on the decision-making procedure with regard to negotiations concerning the validity of claims for salary increments.
My house is falling down.
Please, Mrs. Bloom, try to be reasonable. How shall I put it, simply, so that you can understand? It's like this, Mrs. Bloom. You've heard of the new technology.
Well, did my heart leap and lurch like a fish? You know what that means, out in your ear.
In a business like mine, you keep up or you go down. The silicone chip. The whole system should be on computer. Push, button, recall, infallibility. One capital outlay fractionalizes your overheads and dispenses with the human factor.
I came in here to ask for a rise.
Life has its twists and turns, June. Life has its twists and turns.
It's 7 years redundancy money.
It's not as simple as that, June. Is it?
I stared at his hair. He takes long strands by one ear, greases them together, then smarms them latitudinally down by the other ear. You can't tell which way they grow unless there's a strong wind. I don't like it. Or him.
Marjorie!
I'm clearing up!
Don't overexert yourself, not in your condition.
A lot of rubble to come down the chimney in my bedroom.
With corned beef, do you?
That's fine. Dad's in the garden, collecting.
What's in that bag?
Oh, bricks, dust, slates, and a bird's nest. Starlings, I think. Coming down fast. I'll sleep in the front room tonight.
I've lost my job.
Mum, why? You liked it.
I had a row. Just walked out. I thought sod the money.
Who's this following me in? Poor old beef, little thing. Always the wrong side of the door.
We're about to have our supper, Mrs. Goakley.
I won't keep you. Oh, what does this spell? It's strain. I must have a glass of water. Is water quite the thing for dizzy spells, I wonder? Hello. It's goodbye. Department of Health called. Land movements cracked the mains pipes, aggravated by the cold. There's a geyser bubbling through my kitchen floor. Yours will be the same. I'm going to stay with Ernest's sister in Leeds while the legal matter's sorted out. I'm on tranquilizers. Terrible, isn't it? I think they're addictive. That cat's put on weight. So's Marjorie.
That's right.
Is she...
Twins.
I never knew she was married.
She isn't.
Still at school, isn't she?
That's right.
Well, there you are. I could do with a drop of brandy.
I'm missing a condenser and a camshaft. You and I look under the bath. Otherwise I'm packed and it's all yours. Good evening, Mrs. Goakley.
What's to be done, Mr. Bloom, eh?
I'd better be getting along. Garth doesn't like to be kept waiting.
Who's Garth?
His boyfriend.
A partner.
They're eloping to a Cornish tin mine.
We're setting up a business not far from Mosul.
I don't understand.
He wouldn't.
Have you given a thought for Mum and me, Dad?
I lost my job today.
Oh, what next?
Oh, get out of here, Mrs. Goakley. Go to Leeds, pack your bags and go scrape that orange icing off your face. Let your true colour show through. Come in here and drink my brandy. I've had enough.
I hunt the shopping home after work. I do it all. I keep my mouth shut. I've kept it all in. I've done right by everyone. What's my reward, eh? What's my reward? Hugs and kisses don't make me laugh. Money? I haven't got a bean. Security? Pwah! You come in here thinking of yourself, all of you. I'm the one that's got to sort it out, pay the bills, pick up the pieces, hold the baby. Well, what I want to know is, what about me? That's what I want to know. What about me? I want just sometimes a picnic in the sunshine. Just sometimes a supper by candlelight. Just sometimes a shoulder to lean on. And what do I get? I get you coming in here and drinking my brandy.
Well, I must be going now. I feel to throw. Goodbye, Mr. Bloom. Hope your adventure is successful. Marjorie, hope the little ones are as pretty and good-natured as you. Mrs. Bloom, always been a most considerate neighbour. I'm not surprised all this has got you down. Bye-bye, Pussy. Are you coming with me? She is getting fat.
It's a he.
I'll send you a line from Leeds. If you're still here.
I'd better be going too. I seem to be having an adverse effect.
You're insufferable, Lewis. A creep. You married me. Could have been anybody who didn't so much as look to see what you've got. You had a daughter, Marjorie Bloom. She might as well have been a geranium in a pot. You twiddled your wires, fussed about with your papers and your young men, answerable to nobody, letting us down.
You don't know half of it.
Half of what?
I can't cope with this.
Of course you can't.
You can't blame me for everything that's wrong.
I was rotting here, waiting for I don't know what.
Now you can go and get it. You don't have to wait and rot anymore.
You're a nasty piece of work, a cold, nasty piece of work.
I won't upset you any longer. Goodbye, June. Goodbye, Marjorie.
Let's eat the corned beef.
You blew up.
What a saga. I shouldn't have sounded off at Mrs. Goakley.
Why not?
What's she done?
Drunk all the brandy. I really feel like a curry, don't you?
No.
Dad's old, isn't he?
Very.
Why'd you marry him?
It was a cold winter. Better than going home. I used to sit in his room and do the crossword while he messed about.
The cat means more to me than Dad. I feel close to the cat.
Is it in or out?
I don't know. When did the men thing start with Dad?
On our wedding night. There was a war in Panama. He said he had to go and tune in, helped by his best man.
What did you do?
Went to sleep. Didn't know any different. We weren't like your generation, jumping in, demanding. We did things very slowly.
It's a wonder I came into existence when you think of it.
Glad you did. The only good thing about it.
You know, I'm sure the cat's going to have kittens.
How can it? It's a he.
You wait and see.
That'll be the next thing. That night I lay listening to the usual sounds of falling masonry. I kept seeing Mrs. Goakley's hurt orange face and Lewis with his wires behind my eyes. I tried to stop it all buzzing about in my mind. I made Marjorie's calming sound for when her time comes. Quietened me down. I stood by the window and looked out at the night. It was a big, tired moon and some old snow. I thought, it's a pity about the spaceships and flags and footprints all over the moon. Some things are better left alone. I tried to see a way out of it all. I thought, tomorrow I'll go down the Department of Health and whatever and see if they'll help with the house. And then I'll get the paper and look at the vacant situations. And then I'll go to the fish market, now I've got time, and make pasta and haddock with a cheesy crust and a parsley topping. It's a comforting dish, pasta and haddock. I use the large casserole, now Marjorie's eating for three.
In What a Saga by Diana Suhami, the part of Mrs. Bloom was played by Prunella Scales, Marjorie was Deborah Makepeace, Mrs. Goatley, Kate Williams, Lewis, Peter Woodthorpe, and Mr. Withers, Peter Howell. The play was directed by Clive Brill.